It's time to join Dan and Angie in getting to know the small business owners and artists in your town. Small biz is where it is. Let's support our community by shopping small, keeping it local, and keeping things all fine and dandy.
That was pretty great.
That was awesome.
That's a new intro that we are just featuring today.
Is that you on the voiceover?
No, and you know what? I need to figure out that guy's name because he did an intro from Fiverr for us like 4 years ago. And I looked him up yesterday and he was still available. I messaged him and said, hey, I need to change it, but I want three this time. Would you do it for this price? He responded he would do it for less. I said, okay, sent in the thing. 4 hours later, he sent him back. So
damn.
I'm like, yeah, so you can't beat that.
Yeah, we got like three different versions of it to use depending on like what type of show we're doing.
Yeah, so one for guests, one if it's just us, one if it's just sometimes we just want to have people on that don't even have a business.
Gotcha.
It's just want to chat like we were talking about before. But
before
we continue chatting, I want to tell all of you that are listening or watching, thank you so much for joining us. If you've seen us here before or listened before, welcome back. We are so excited tonight because we have another guest in the studio. Tonight,
we've been cranking, man.
Oh, I know. We're like jammed up.
I heard y'all are booked up.
We are booked.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's so great. It's so awesome. And the community around Asheville and Candler and this whole area has been so great about just kind of reaching out. And we're very excited to be here. But we're sitting with Colt Parsons from Speakeasy Martial Arts and Asheville's premier Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Wrestling Academy. I said it right.
You got it. You did it right.
Yeah. I love it.
You were afraid you couldn't say Jiu-Jitsu. Can you try just for a minute?
Jiu-Jitsu?
My wife's mom always just like murders it. And it's the funniest
like,
thing.
There's always something every show I can't say. I've never been able to say this word.
She always says it wrong. But at least you're trying and you're not saying karate.
Karate.
Yeah, at least you're not saying karate, taekwondo.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that would...
What people say to you?
No, it's kind of gone. That's kind of in the past now. But you know, maybe like older
now
family
members.
Now
that Karate Kid isn't out.
Yeah, older family members are like, oh, you're still doing that karate?
You know, it's all karate.
My grandparents, they have no understanding. Yeah, I don't know. What's funny is like for the longest time, I run my jiu-jitsu gym and I've also had, other career stuff. And I'll go see my grandpa and it's just like, he'll just be like, yeah, you ever think about becoming like a mailman?
Oh,
you know, he's like, you still doing that like taekwondo stuff? And I'm like, yeah, I'm running like a jiu-jitsu gym, dude. Like.
Oh, I have my own business, Gramps, you know.
Oh, okay. You're kicking ass then, huh? I'm like, yeah,
oh, I love it.
Yeah, you can make a living from that,
he's
you
like,
know?
Well, you know, the mailmen, they treat them real good. I'm just like, all right, you know.
Doesn't I guess that, seem fun, though.
No, I don't know.
You could be, this feels like a movie coming on. The mailman jiu-jitsu guy or something. Sounds like a Kevin James movie or something. But Colt, welcome, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Yes.
We're excited to find out about your business and about you.
Yeah, it's a great story. Like, I read a little bit about it. And I want to get right into the name, though, because I think most people could kind of figure out by the name that maybe it kind of came from being like a little secretive or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
you're onto something.
Let us know a little bit about that because I didn't tell Dan too much about it because I wanted you to be able to tell him the story behind the name.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for having me on and, giving me a platform to, share and talk with y'all. So I had moved to Asheville from South Florida.
Wow.
Yep. I was in Delray Beach for probably about
a lot of people from Florida moved up here, from Central Florida.
Wow. Right, yeah. How long ago?
About 4.5. Well, I've been here for about 5 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I got here in like 2017.
Oh, nice.
Around then, yeah.
Right before...
A few years before COVID.
Yeah, a few years before COVID.
Oh, yeah. And I was in South Florida for various reasons. I got in trouble, had to move away from home.
Sure.
And then, kind of restarted my life down there. We can get into that after I tell you more about the gym.
Sometimes a new location helps to get you away from the bad things. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of came from like a family that had other people with substance abuse problems.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep.
So my sister had gone to Florida and she had kind of cleaned up her act. So there was kind of this drive for me to go down there with her. And that's kind of inevitably what happened.
Sure.
Yeah, great.
But I got to, that's way back, but I got to Asheville in like 2017 and I'd been a brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And so in Jiu-Jitsu, and a lot of times I'll dumb things down or I'll explain, over-explain, because I know you guys don't know anything about martial arts.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
And maybe to some people, this is, most people I talk to, they know these things.
Sure,
I'm a small circle of martial artists.
Yeah.
But in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, there's a belt system. It's to you have to be very, very dedicated to achieve it. About anybody really can achieve it. It's not really like an athleticism thing. I would say you have jiu-jitsu practitioners and you have jiu-jitsu athletes. I've kind of phased out of being the athlete and more of a practitioner now.
Is it a mental thing, that like a mental strength? Or is it just knowing everything, sort of like you would study for anything?
Well, it all kind of depends. And it all depends kind of what your belief is in the system.
Right.
And a lot of people have different beliefs. I believe that there's a difference. You have practitioners and then you have athletes.
Right.
So I kind of work with both.
Gotcha.
You know, okay. I have guys that'll never be able to fight their way out of a paper bag, but they've been doing this thing for years and years, and they've learned technique, they've learned self-defense.
Yeah.
They can probably beat up the regular, you know, they can defend themselves a little bit,
yeah.
You know, and they can progress through the belt system, just like I have guys that are young, they're athletes, they're competing.
Yeah.
You know, they have jiu-jitsu competitions.
Sure.
And they're out there getting after it.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to
compare. They're in it for the competition, though, it seems like.
Yeah.
Well,
hard to compare the two sometimes.
Yeah. Okay.
They're on kind of two different journeys, really.
Okay.
Yeah, and
that's how I look at it.
I don't want to jump ahead because you're probably going to explain this to us, but the what little bit I know about jiu-jitsu is from, I like to listen to Joe Rogan, and he's a big fan of jiu-jitsu, so I don't know if you ever hear him talk about
it.
But I hear things like, it is so good for you mentally, and it's so good for your just having your mood and your demeanor, and just, you know, so.
Probably teaches you a certain amount of control is what helps with that mood and demeanor as well.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I think it definitely helps with, like, your ego.
Yeah,
your ego can definitely your ego can be inflated and deflated at any given time.
Of course,
you know? It almost seems like the Eastern arts, or if that's even the way you call it, that the fighting technique, they're based a lot on sort of centering yourself and having your mind in the right spot. It's not just going in there and boxing or something. You know, there's a lot of mental stuff. Is that true?
Yes and no, in terms of like what martial arts is turning into. Jiu-jitsu is kind of moving away from, you know, the Budo code and honor.
Is that where it started?
Like, yeah. I would say, yeah, because it starts from judo, which is a Japanese grappling art that the samurai used to practice.
Okay.
And judo basically involves throwing a partner. Like, original judo involves throwing a partner onto their head and killing them.
Ooh.
Oh.
And that's what the samurai would practice.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And as it kind of evolutionized, they started fighting less samurai battles, but they still wanted to practice martial arts, so they still continued to practice. Then they wanted to, you know, compete against each other, so they manipulated the rules so it wasn't deadly, and now you have this martial art that people can train and compete in, and it's you're no longer killing people.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then how that kind of, I use the word evolutionized, I don't know if that's right, but what it turned into then is then a practitioner of judo moved to Brazil. He taught some guys in Brazil judo.
I was going to ask how it spread.
They took it, and then they turned it into Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Brazilian jiu-jitsu being kind of the focus on the ground, the stuff that's happening on the ground.
Okay, okay.
With judo being more of a focus on the takedowns and the throwing people.
Okay.
So Brazilian, more like grappling and wrestling. Yeah. And okay, okay, yeah, I gotcha.
It's basically like wrestling, but you got to make them say uncle. You got to make them tap out.
Oh,
nice. Yeah.
So do you have a lot of wrestlers that come and, you know, kind of want to train in this as well?
Yeah. Okay. And that was kind of...
Like wrestlers like they do in school?
Yes.
That type of wrestling?
Yes, all the time. Okay. All the time.
Oh, cool.
And it's not as much more for the wrestling, it's just for the community. Yeah. A lot of guys that played high school sports, they're like, man, it's over now, or I played in college. And
they're used to that competition, and they still want that.
Yes.
In a different form.
Yeah, and the friendships that come, and the, exactly.
And having people that are like-minded, too, because it is hard to go from that, being that, like, even the star athletes and stuff, and you see so much of the time, then they don't get involved with anything else once they're done with the high school, or if they didn't do college or anything like that, and it's like... They kind of waste away a little, you know what I mean? They get unhealthy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah.
You see them get unhealthy. I mean, I've seen this from my own high school.
Armchair quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, I never thought about that, but, you know, I was like a stoner nerd or whatever in school, so.
Stoner/nerd.
But I think, this kind of plays in, because when you're... hobbies or whatever your extracurricular activities are, you know, playing video games or hanging out and smoking weed or whatever, you don't, hopefully you grow up and you move on and you kind of stop some of those bad habits and you become successful and you, you know, work on your career and your family and all that. But you, there's not that whole piece of it's not missing. Like if you're an athlete mm-hmm. and you don't make it into pro sports, then you, unless you're on like a softball league with your buddies or mm-hmm. something, then that's missing.
Yeah.
And maybe that contributes to, I just feel like it, it's maybe more the case if you were into sports and then it's gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I love that you explained kind of like the origin of it because mm-hmm. when you hear Brazilian, you just think that's where it came from, mm-hmm. you know, but it, you know, it's kind of connected worldwide, you know, from one end of the earth to the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like everything is, really. It has a backstory
yeah.
somewhere else.
So there's a belt system. It goes white, blue, purple, brown, black. Okay. I would say if you train consistently a couple times a week, you can get your black belt in 8 to 10 years.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That's, so that's a dedication. Yeah. Dedication and commitment.
That's with a couple times a week.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
And that's usually not the case. Some people take time off. You have a baby. Yeah. You get yeah. hurt. So it's really hard to stick with it. And then kind of own the jiu-jitsu gym, you're in a losing battle because only like a couple percentage of the population get their Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belts.
Yeah. So it's a
small pool.
To wow. be
Most
taken,
people quit.
Yeah. So it's to be taken much more serious than maybe some other achievements people can make in the sort
shorter
of martial
amount
arts.
Of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, you know, I used to say like, oh, it takes longer to get your black belt than it does to become a doctor. But yeah. it's kind of like, you know, some people, I look at it like I'm talentless. I truly believe I'm talentless and anybody can do what I do. But then I'll meet doctors that are just like amazed by what I do.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, man, I look at how smart they are and it yeah. blows my mind.
That's,
and I'll be like, man, there's no way I could ever be that smart.
That's being humble though. I think there's yeah. value in doing
yeah.
that.
Yeah. But yeah. I don't really see myself as having any special talent where I meet someone that loves jiu-jitsu, they're brand new and they're like, oh my God, you're so good. And it's like, no, I've just been doing this a really long yeah. time. That's yeah. all. Yeah. That's all. If anyone was doing anything for a long time, I would hope that they would be kind of good at it.
Well,
that's
why I think that's really good though, because yeah. you're maybe helping people that are feeling overwhelmed by it, that it's not something that they can do. By having that humble attitude that you're having, you're kind of encouraging them that yeah, you can do this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's a great way to kind of just encourage people just by a few words that you're, you know, saying yeah. to them. I think that's great.
I do too. And I think if you look at anything that way, because I feel like you're right. If you have a passion for the thing that you are doing over and over and that mm. you're learning, if you have a true passion for mm. it, it does become your talent. Like I could argue that you're so good at it because you have a passion for it, because if somebody made you do this and you really weren't into it,
yeah.
you might be able to get pretty good, but I don't know if it would be like the talent piece.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate your being humble. I feel like there's a... That's important for all of us, but you must be doing something right here, you know?
Yeah, I've been doing it a while, and, you know, like, I swear, like, I've always been, like, enamored by people that are really good at that shit. Like, people that can sing, dance. I'm always just like, man, that's awesome.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like fascinating.
It's really cool.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, but, I do get the same way when I'm like, you see somebody paint, like, this beautiful piece of art, and you're like,
oh, my, like, what?
My yeah. brain is just, I can't even, like, wrap my brain around it. I'm like... You know, you're watching like a live painting or something, and you're like, how is that even in your mind that those colors can go together like that to make a picture?
Yeah.
And I come from my mom, my sister, and my grandma are all like really, really amazing artists and decorators and painters
sure.
and all that yeah. shit. I could not
yeah.
do any of that. I can't barely. Yeah.
We're all born with what we're supposed to have. I mean, we can learn stuff too, but I think you're born with whatever,
you're
you know. Where your direction is going to go, take
your inclination
you know?
Or whatever. Yeah.
I wanted to, sorry, we're talking over each other. I wanted to, let's talk a little bit about how the gym actually got started. You call it a gym, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Gym, academy, dojo, okay. whatever. I usually call it an academy.
Yeah. So let's get into like where the speakeasy name came and how you kind of got started, you know,
yes.
before it even became a gym. What was it previously?
Gotcha. So I got my brown belt in South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I took some time off and I just wanted to train and get my black belt after graduating college.
Okay.
And then my sister was opening up a business in Asheville. And she,
so she had made her way up to Asheville
yeah.
from Florida
uh-huh.
already.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she wanted me to come and work for her. And that was kind of my way to get from Florida to Asheville. And then I was living in Asheville for a few years, and I was training at different gyms and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I knew it was kind of my time, and I really wanted to instruct and teach and have a stable of my own people, mm-hmm. and build my own community. And then COVID hit, and that was kind of – it was like perfect timing almost, because yeah. I felt like I wasn't fitting in any of the gyms, not for any particular reason. I just kind of was ready to do my own thing and kind of cut my teeth and start training people. So COVID hit, and then I was able to get a read on some Brazilian jiu-jitsu mats. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy these mats, and I'm going to deck out my garage. And I was blessed I was able to do that. I'm going to deck out my garage, and I'm going to people just start coming and train with me, people that want to.
Now, were these like people that you had made friends with at the gyms, or just friends that you already had?
Okay, they were just people, and some people I never met, but then they heard about me.
Yeah,
they're like, "Hey, I heard you got mats and a gym going on."
This is like Fight Club. I love it.
That's what I was thinking. whenever I read a little bit about it, I was like, and "Oh my god!" It's like
it
Fight
started
Club.
Out in my dad's garage up in Candler, right? Well, where we are, yeah. I don't want to drop the address.
Oh, okay. No, we don't care.
Be careful.
We don't care. We're armed to the teeth. No, good, I'm just kidding. Good.
And it started at his house. And then I had a couple people hit me up, and they were kind of my original, homies. And it grew and grew. And then we were training in the garage. Then I got in my house. I'd moved the mats over to that two-car garage. That was like the main thing when we were buying a house. I was like, it just has to have a two-car garage.
Yeah.
So I don't care what it is, what's up with it. Just has to have a two-car garage. So I did that. And then I started throwing around the name Speakeasy, because mm-hmm. what we were doing was could be frowned upon. It was secret.
Yeah. I love it.
You had to just kind of not tell certain people.
I love it.
You can tell this guy, but he can come, he can't come.
Yeah.
It just got secret.
That's how everybody stayed alive without losing their minds and hiding in a corner during all of that.
It was like, and now I look back at it, it was so awesome, because all I did was just train my ass off.
Yeah.
So you were just like so consumed by that.
Well, what else could you?
Like, whatever. The rest of the world's doing whatever it is.
Right.
You're kind of keeping like your peace of mind and keeping your sanity, because you're doing something you really love to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I was also providing that outlet to other people that wanted to. And I was basically saying to people, listen, if you don't want to train, don't. If you're afraid of what's going on, this probably isn't the sport for you. Just don't do it.
Sure. This is like some physical. You're going to be face-to-face contact.
Just don't do it. Don't do it. And if you want to do it, come through.
Yeah.
And it just kind of kept growing and growing, and we started building the community. And then I was working at this. I was working at the company my sister started.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing really well there, and everything was going great. And I had started this other company. We can get into all this with my one partner. I'd worked in mental health and substance abuse, and then me and my partner, we started a sober living company.
Yeah, I definitely want to go into how this goes hand in hand, because it's really such an important message to get out to everybody.
Yeah.
And what a great idea. I mean, we're jumping ahead, but I've never heard of anyone doing this, and it seems like a perfect match to me. But go ahead, sorry.
Doing what?
Just the substance, helping people, kind of injecting the jiu-jitsu with getting people out of situations they shouldn't be in, mm-hmm. and bad habits and addictions and all that. I've never heard of that before.
And that's kind of how it kind of all first started. I would say maybe before I was having the chain sessions at my house, I was renting some space at a local gym on Friday nights. And it was kind of invited to anybody that was in the recovery community, anyone that wanted to just come, anyone that wanted to learn jiu-jitsu, anyone living in our sober living, they could come try it out.
Yeah.
And that it grew and grew, and we got a lot of people, and it was really, really great. So I decided I didn't want to work at my sister's company anymore. That was working directly at a substance abuse treatment center.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it anymore. I'd gone through some, I had a friend that passed away, and that kind of woke me up to some things. Yeah. I was basically like, I better start living my life. And it's not it's not all about money and finances, even though I really am, I try to, that stuff is important to me.
Yeah.
But I was kind of realized,
you need it to sustain yourself. And
I was thinking, how much do I actually need? Because when I was young, I wanted like tip of the spear, best job ever. It's got to be like six figures. It's got to be this. It's got to be that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, I was like, my marriage isn't going great, but I have this great job and everything's kind of fucked up. Yep. So I was like, I need to leave this job and I need to just work on myself and continue doing jiu-jitsu. I wanted to get my black belt. So I quit my job, got my black belt.
And what a scary thing to do, right? You're married, so you have somebody that,
And I was the main provider at the time.
So what a scary step to take. But sometimes you have to do that for your mental sanity and health. Yeah. Thank God that you had the notion, you know, that your gut or your brain, something was telling you, I've got to do it.
Yeah, I was just super unhappy. And when I quit my job, I didn't know I was opening up the gym. I basically, you were just like, I was like, yeah, I can't do this. And we're going to back it down and figure out what we do need to sustain and live our lifestyle and be happy. And it really isn't a lot, you know, because we have each other. We have everything we want, everything we need. We're very blessed. So I quit that. And then, you know, 3-4 months down the road, I was like, man, I think if I really want to really grow this thing beyond the garage, I got to open up the storefront, like the brick and mortar store, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened.
Wow.
And I built out the space with me and my dad. Just me and him completely. We did all the demo work, all the work. He helped me.
Oh, good thing you're handy like that.
Yes, yes. I grew up doing all types of like mission trips and stuff like that. So we learned how to be very handy. It's so...
You started this by saying how you don't have any talents. Meanwhile, you're like, like doing stuff I don't know how to do, dude.
It's just drywall, you know?
yeah. But look, we've tried to do drywall before. It's not that freaking easy.
It's not fun.
It's no.
It's buying it 3 times if you don't know what you're doing. Yeah. So.
Just punch a hole in it again. Start over. But we had to do a lot of work. And, and I kind of realized if I wanted to really grow this thing and really grow the kids program and get more, just more people involved, it's not everyone wants to come to the garage.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell. It's like the secret thing. And it's just like sweatbox.
Well, especially if you want to work with kids. Yeah. Nobody's going to send their kids to your garage. It's just not going to happen.
Kid Fight Club.
So we opened up, I think it was, I just had my 2-year anniversary party. So it was 2 years ago we opened up. And
man, that I've is just awesome.
Been, just been rocking and rolling.
Has it been doing well?
Yeah, that's it's going well. I think I'm rarely ever satisfied.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, yes, it's going well, but there's just like 50 different things that I want to massively
elevate it and continue to make it evolve.
And I'm not patient, but it grows and it plateaus. It grows and it plateaus. Yeah. And you grow and you scale, And but I'm ready. I'm ready to scale. I'm ready to pay employees. I'm ready to grow and do the damn thing.
Good for you. I feel like that's a good mindset to have, though. Mm-hmm. Just never being perfectly content, because then you stay hungry, then you stay motivated, and you just keep growing. And, you know, growing, of course, is great for us in every way that we can. But so I want to jump in between a little bit. So you founded this in 2020. In your garage.
Yeah, yeah.
You finally said, I'm going to put this... So did you shut down, like, the garage thing, or did you keep doing that while you're starting the business and building it out?
Oh, while I was building out the gym, I was still training full-time.
Wow.
Yeah, I was still training full-time, and I had a really, really bad leg injury that took me out, and I just kept going. Nothing stopped me. I would still...
That's awesome.
Because I was still... I didn't want to... I was trying to keep the momentum.
Yeah.
So I'd work at the at the space all day, and then I would go coach at my garage at night.
Oh, my gosh.
And we still train at the garage sometimes. We have a garage session on Sundays. It's kind of private. It's like kind of more for the tough like guys.
It's for like the Patreon. No, I'm just kidding.
It's basically,
It's like, you know, founders only. What, founding members? Is that how they say it?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a founding founder. Members.
Yeah, yeah, like a founders club, yeah.
It's a lot of our high-ranking members and...
Very cool. So I want to get into working with people in recovery, but first I have to know why you're called Professor Colt.
Mm. It's just...
Is that just like a Brazilian...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, okay. It's just a term. It's a term used for like...
Like instead of sensei?
Yeah, a lot of martial arts have way different... you have coach, you have sensei, you have sifu, you have professor.
Okay.
Every martial arts kind of has
that's what I thought it was something
like master.
That. Once you've reached a certain
yeah,
level
there's all different types of shit. Okay. I go by Professor Colt.
Sure.
You don't have to call me that. I really don't care. But most people call me Professor Colt.
It's interesting, though. I was like, I'm sure that's what it is, but it's interesting that that's the title that they've kind of chosen to put in with that practice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's neat. Angie wants to get into the, you know, how you're helping the people that are in recovery. I'm very curious about that too. So when you were doing this in your garage, was that people that were in recovery too, or was it?
Yes, but they come and go.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of them come, mix.
Yeah, it's a mix. A lot of them come and go. I would say that the people that have like really stuck with it and trained with me like a lot are doing really, really well now.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like a niche. It's niche.
Yeah.
And it's hard to keep people motivated, you know, and into it.
Keep them away from everything.
I have a couple guys that started a few years ago, and they're still, you know, doing well and doing clean to this day. And then there's guys that have done it, and, you know, it wasn't for them.
Yeah.
I have an open, you know, class for anyone in the community that wants to come and do jiu-jitsu. They can do it. Anyone that's living in one of my sober livings, they can come in and do jiu-jitsu for free.
Oh, wow.
You know, getting them to do it, though, that's kind of like, you know, you can bring a horse to water.
Yeah.
Because you have... It's really like the fitness journey. Because like when I'm on a call with somebody, it is like sales, right? And I'm trying to pitch them on the gym and what we offer and how we could be the best fit for them. But I'm also trying to pitch them on starting the fitness journey.
Yeah.
Which is, that's like hit or miss whether you're going to say yes to that, say yes to yourself, and then join a jiu-jitsu gym, which is also really hard.
Yeah.
So.
Because just doing the diet part, you're not, I don't want to say diet. Just the nutrition part is hard enough on its own. So now you're going to, you know, you're going to pair that with this intense kind of workout that you're doing that your body's not used to, right?
Yeah.
And if you're in recovery, you're dealing with that too. Yeah. So that is...
I almost thought of it, and look, I'm not an addict. I did lose my dad to alcohol, so I'm familiar with it. But I almost pictured it like... It might, when I was saying earlier, it seems like a good match. I was thinking that, you know, like one of the, he never wanted to go to like AA meetings. And I think in the same way that we were talking the other day about like when you're talking to your kids and Afri was telling us how cooking is good for that because you're not looking at each other and you're busy and your hands are, it made me think that people that are in recovery versus sitting around and feeling terrible and thinking about it. It's something to do with your body, and it seems like that might be...
It's like a distraction
from and yourself. Some people dive... I mean, their addictive personality takes over, and they dive right in, and they're there every day.
Yeah.
And I don't care. Like, one addiction for another, I'm like, this is good for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's something to do.
Yeah.
And what's great is the best thing after jiu-jitsu is you're exhausted, go home, eat dinner, take a shower, and go to bed.
Right. And your body starts...
You have no time to be in here thinking about anything.
That's exactly what I meant, where you're like, you're kicking your own ass, but in a good way, and your mind is probably working the whole time you're doing that, too, because you got it. This isn't, you know, like...
Yeah, there's a this lot of thought like that goes into
Apple
this.
Fitness. This is like you know, you got to know the technique and pay very close attention.
Like the
attention.
Things we do at home,
right? This isn't doing sit-ups. This is not that we're doing sit-ups yet, but
because this is like grappling and stuff. So there's a lot of kind of looking at the opponent and knowing kind of what move they're going to make next. So you really have to be like tuned in to that moment of what's going on.
That's the training, though.
Yeah, right? You're either like insanely locked in or you're not there. Like you're kind of blank and it's all just kind of happening.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where you hit that like flow state. You know, you something like your body just happens. There's some muscle memory there, and you're killing it. You're moving like an animal. It's going great, and it's all kind of beyond your consciousness sometimes. And there's other times where you really need to dial it in and exactly what you're doing with this hand and that hand and here and there.
Yeah.
So it kind of varies on where your mind is. Sometimes it's really zeroed in, and sometimes it's just you're just letting it all happen.
That muscle memory thing. That's another thing that Joe talks about, but. That muscle memory thing is fascinating to me because anything you do enough times, you could go through an entire match where you're just, you know exactly what you're doing because you've done it hundreds and hundreds of times before. And it's almost like you're autonomous at that point. Your body's doing it for you.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Especially if you've competed before, competed a lot. Competing is like, it can be really like traumatic. It can be nuts. It can be crazy. It can be really hype, exciting.
Yeah.
And that really like sears it in the forefront of your brain. I do believe that competing kind of shakes things up and really cracks the brain so that gap can be filled with some real intense knowledge because it's really like go for broke, you know?
Sure. So, that's probably the most intense form of Brazilian jiu-jitsu is the competitions, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
So what does a competition look like? Like are these – I mean, I'm assuming these are like smaller events and then you kind of – get the people that win those ones and go to a larger event. Is that kind of how that
works?
Yeah,
you have small local tournaments, you have regional tournaments, you have world tournaments.
Okay.
It goes all the way up.
So if you do, this is going to sound silly, but I'm thinking about it like I'm not a sports person, remember, nerd here, but My daughter was in competitive cheer, and it was like once you, like if you beat this group, then you get to move on and go to the next. Is it the same kind of thing?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Yeah. It's kind of like that. There's some very prestigious tournaments, and you need to be invited. You need to like acquire points to go to the next one. That's really just kind of dumbing the whole thing down. But but yeah, it's kind of run. You'd go to it. It'd be like a wrestling tournament. They have multiple mats set up. There's referees running matches, and there's a bullpen where everyone's getting ready and warmed up, and then the ref calls your name, and you go, shake hands, and then you go for it.
So is this like anybody that has started training can go to this, or do they?
So they have levels.
They have levels.
Yeah, cause, and that's what's cool about the belt system. So then you can have those competitors compete against each other within those belts.
Okay.
So blue belts against blue belts, purple belts against purple belts, black belts against black belts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we are really green. Is that how you say it? When it comes to this,
yeah, yeah,
great. Because I was never in like any type of martial arts. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of kids are like when you're little, you did karate.
My son was in karate.
Karate, you know, the after school program where you're a black belt in like 3 weeks.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah. You just pay them.
You know?
Yeah.
You're just paying for basically. but I was never in any of those type of sports. So.
Me neither, of course. But I have been fascinated with people that have been into some of this stuff, like Joe Rogan when he talks about it. The flip side of that to me is Steven Seagal. I don't know if you know who
I know Steven Seagal.
But I watched a video of him the other night.
Who doesn't know Steven Seagal?
Oh, my gosh.
I love Steven Seagal. Yeah. Chuck Norris, Steven Seagal. Yeah. I'm trying to think who else is, like, out there. The DMX Steven Seagal movies were pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They Cradle to the Grave.
That was a great one.
Under Siege was the best one in my mind, probably. So Chuck Norris was also jiu-jitsu?
He did achieve his jiu-jitsu black belt, and he got it from the Machado brothers, if I'm not mistaken. And they're kind of like an old school lineage out in the West Coast.
He
was kind of wrapped up with some of the original people that, you know, got their belts, you know.
There you go.
I don't know. Now we have the term practitioner versus athlete.
Yeah.
And that's where you wonder.
Yeah, that's so interesting to me, the practitioner versus the athlete.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me, though, because it could be you know all there is to know about it, and you know all the moves, and you can execute them, but maybe in a tournament, you're not going to be the one that wins. In regular life, it's like a tool under your belt that you can use.
It's super interesting, though.
Because you can't compare yourself to everybody. So, you know, we have guys that get their blue belts that come in, that get their blue belts, and they do really well, and they've been trained for a few years. And then, you know, a state champion wrestler comes in that's never done jiu-jitsu, but they've been grappling their whole lives. I basically need to tell them two or three things for them to be able to beat the shit out of that blue belt. Because they've been grappling. They understand.
They show up 90%.
So, again, that's like an athlete versus a practitioner.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, at my academy, we have both. We have both. And some people might, like, frown upon that or have something funny, you know, funny to say, because it's basically saying, like, oh, so you'll promote someone if they just come long enough. And it's like, well, if they attain the knowledge,
I mean,
if
the
they
time
can teach,
and dedication that it
if
takes,
they can defend themselves, you know, then they deserve it.
Yeah.
But I'm also, I have this bullpen of athletes that are on a different level.
Yeah.
They're on a way
different
level.
That's fair, though, because I think it's obviously a complex and valuable skill for anyone to learn, but there is just going to be limitations some people have that other people don't have.
Yeah. I have guys that train full time.
Yeah.
That don't have jobs.
Yeah.
And then I have guys that do IT.
Yep.
And they try to make it in once a week.
Right.
Nice.
Right.
You know? So it's just kind of, it's all different crowds, which that's the coolest part.
Yeah.
You got cops training with stoners, and you have dudes that make a ton of money training with guys who live in their van. And it's kind of a heady sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like it's mostly males that are coming to the gym, but
it's a mix.
It is.
Yeah. There's definitely a female jiu-jitsu community in Asheville.
Yeah.
They're rocking and rolling.
Yep. Awesome.
And we have a really, really good women's instructor on the team.
Because it's women. It usually pair women against women, men against men because of just physicality.
Yes. Except kids.
Okay, yeah.
Little kids fight, like, boys fight girls and stuff all the time. Yeah. Up until probably, like, 13 years old until they start kind of...
Until puberty, and the muscle mass changes and everything.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I hate to keep leaning back into Fight Club, but it reminds me... I know it's a fictitious story. It's my favorite story of all time, favorite book, favorite movie. But I can't help but think that the guy that wrote it, Chuck Palahniuk, pulled from some real-life... Are martial arts or fighting, because it's such a versatile group of people in the movie. And it reminds me that when you say cops with stoners, and it's, that's the, the common denominator that everybody bonds on, regardless of what your walk of life is, I assume, with this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. In South Florida, I trained with a lot of cops.
Did you?
A lot of, like, SWAT team guys and cops. Oh, wow. And all different types of
Miami PD dudes.
I mean,
it's probably a great thing for them to have under their belt.
Yes.
Oh, indeed. Yeah.
Think about when, you know, you get somebody that's, you know, wants to just wrestle with them for some reason, you know?
Or just being able to take somebody down.
Yeah, them just knowing those moves and kind of how to keep their head, you know, calm and really think about it.
It's all about bring the horse to water, having them drink. I'm part of this Adopt-A-Cop program, so cops can train at my gym, and that's sponsored, and it's part of this, like, it's part of this nonprofit. Trying to get them to come in, that's a different story.
Yeah.
That's a different story. We have a few cops that train, but getting more and more of them and have it really building, it's tough. A lot of cops, they're in this in-between where they don't want to get hurt, and they think they're going to get hurt training because they need their body. They need
work.
They need it for work. Yeah. And a lot of ego stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, a cop doesn't want to come in and get wrapped up by a 15-year-old.
They
don't want that. Yeah. that's what I've found from the cops that do train with me. They're like, this is what held me back. You know, they're like, my ego, I didn't want to get my ass kicked by a girl. They're like, and I can't get hurt. So we try to hold space for them and what they need. But more cops should be training. There should be more people paying for it to happen, whatever. I'm a part of this great program, again, Adopt a Cop, where they
so this is a nonprofit. This is here local?
No, it's like a national program.
National program. Yeah. I never even heard of this.
Oh, I love it though.
Talk a little bit more about it.
I don't know crazy much about beyond it. I forgot the guy's name that started it.
Okay.
But basically they will cover his tuition.
It's for different types of programs.
First responders.
It's for first
responders. And then I link up with Adopt-A-Cop, and then they let Adopt-A-Cop know they're coming to my gym, and then Adopt-A-Cop will pay their tuition.
Okay, oh, I cool. love this.
So they're kind of doing the groundwork for the cops to let them know, hey, we have gyms here, we have this program in different areas of people that are willing to let them come in and train.
Yeah, basically train for free.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
But not enough cops take advantage of it, really.
Yeah.
More should.
Yeah.
Way more should.
That's a great. I mean, that's a great thing to just hopefully so people too. Hear that and
this,
can pass know, it along too.
Yeah.
If you have somebody that is a police officer and you hear this, definitely pass the information.
Come check it out.
On
come on in
them,
and train.
Yeah.
Have a good time.
Decide if they want to try it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You should always try it once at least.
Yeah. You have two free trial classes and come check it out.
I think by two you're gonna know
if it's for you
or not.
Yeah.
Anyone gets two free trial. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Oh wow, that's nice. So then they can try it. For as far as the Adopt a Cop thing though, you know how I get down the YouTube rabbit hole, and I don't know why, but for some reason it's just wildly satisfying to me to watch people do really stupid stuff and get taken down by cops. So
or like tasered.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or anything.
Anything.
Yeah. You know?
Especially when they're just being
dicks,
a total dick
know?
To the cop. Yeah. As soon as they start that, I'm like, oh my God, please let this one.
I love like 1990s cops.
Oh, me too.
They're the best.
Me too.
Remember, you ever seen the one where he goes, I'm not your poppy? And he's like, okay, poppy. He goes, I'm not your poppy. You gotta look up YouTube, I'm not your poppy.
Oh, I will.
It's so funny.
Yeah, we're watching that.
Well, I'm already, so funny. I'm already in the algorithm from watching those where it's, you know, certain people just get pulled over for like the most minor thing and they start being a dick to the cop right away. And I'm like, oh my, please yank him out of the car.
Just like, they pull their phone out and they're like, I'm filming you. Yeah. I'm filming you.
And they always start recording after they've done the disrespectful and dumb shit that they did.
And right. They're like, what did I, why are you pulling me over? And
yeah. Like, I already told you four times before you started recording. But so we have friends and family that are police and the term they use among themselves is to play silly games, win silly prizes, which I always thought was the best. Mm-hmm. But having said all that, watching some of them take down somebody who's running, though, it brings me back to the jiu-jitsu thing because some of them get hurt just taking somebody down who's running because they just go for it, you know, like a linebacker.
Where if they knew how to grab correctly or something, they might be able to smooth their fall and just land on the other person
or holding someone that's trying to get away that may know some, you know what I mean? It's I could definitely see the value in it.
Yeah. I think that's something too, is a lot of people are trained nowadays and a lot of people have wrestled. So they're hard to hold down and stuff like that. So you know, it's good to try to, you gotta be, I mean, you're a cop. You should know this shit.
And it seems
it's obvious.
It seems like it'd be safer for them to know it.
Yeah. And basically in terms of like self-defense, physical training, I think in like most academies, they box for like a day and they just beat the shit out of each other. And then that's it.
That just shows you can take a punch. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
And you have to,
pain you can put away.
Yeah. You have to practice using your firearm once a year. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a fucking genius with how all the cop stuff works, but I do know that if you are a cop, you should be training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah. 100%. And I was even thinking too, as cops, you know, get a little older, you know, when you're young and you know, they have that, they working out and they got the, you know, the youth, right? But as you get aging a little bit as a police officer and you're pulling people over that are young or, you know, you have to face people that are younger, maybe stronger. That's when I think it would be really beneficial.
Well, one thing I was telling this guy is he was like thinking about it. Well, it was good for him. You know, should do it, shouldn't do it. And I was like, what's the response time? Like if I'm like, hey, someone's breaking into my house, I need help now. What, how long until cops are going to get there?
Yeah.
He's like, it could be like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. I'm like, you know, it's the same for you, right? Like, If you are like stopping somebody and you need fucking backup, it's probably about the same for you.
Right, for somebody to get there.
Yeah. I'm like, so you need to be able to defend yourself.
Yeah.
You have to be able
and
to defend yourself.
Maybe for 15 whole minutes.
That's a long, that is an eternity in fighting, as you know.
Yeah. Because he said that, I was like, it's probably the same for you then.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah, you want, and that's the thing. You would like it to be over in probably 1 minute. So that's why you need to know the moves to be able to make it. To end that shit.
10-minute fight scenes aren't real.
No.
Yeah. But I don't, you know, I don't think it's like the end all be all. And I think you should do weapons training.
Oh,
I think you should jog. You should jog and you should eat healthy and, you know, and you should have the support to do all those things. And, you know.
Now, that's one of the things you offer at the gym as well, is going kind of into the nutrition side of it. How do you get into that with people? How do you approach them with that to, you know?
Well, most people that are joining like a gym, they are open to talking about losing weight.
Yeah.
You know, like that's, it's, so you don't have to kind of like dip around that. If someone's joining the gym and they're overweight, you know, he basically explained that, you know, muscle moves the fastest.
Yeah.
You know, and the more you lose weight, the faster you're going to move, the better you're going to be. And it's all going to kind of shed right off of you.
Yeah.
And we have people that work on the team that do some nutritional planning for us.
Oh, great.
And we try to, you know, make it as individualized as we can, but it's all kind of like pretty simple.
Very,
you know, it's
clean
all
eating.
It's clean eating. You don't eat out. You drink a certain amount of water. I'm really, really big on like timing. That's kind of one thing.
Yeah.
So I think like light on carbs, high on protein before training, and then restore with carbs after.
Yep.
That's kind of one of my main things.
Yeah.
I also,
but you know, a lot of people don't know that.
No, they have no idea.
A lot of people that you see work out all the time, they're going to eat their protein right after they work out, and they have to replenish their carbs. They're not realizing that, you know.
Yeah.
It's very important for your body.
And I'm not a genius, and you know, in terms of like fitness and nutrition, but like I said, it's something that we offer. We can kind of piece together for you.
Yeah,
it's all pretty, it's all really basics, you know, basic.
It's a great
nutrition
place
plan
to have. It's a great thing to have in place, though, for people that are clueless to it, right? If you know the basics about nutrition, then that's kind of where you can start with people that don't know anything about it. And just, it will make such a world of difference in, you know, their thinking, the way they're feeling. I mean, just.
And it's
really
easiest
everything
in the beginning.
Yeah.
In the beginning, like people start jiu-jitsu and they start eating healthier, they start drinking the right amount of water, and the weight just shreds off of them.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Then you've been doing it 7-8 years. Next thing you know, you start getting a belly.
Yeah.
It starts coming back, you know, because you're just used to the sport by now.
Yeah.
But you got to change it up.
When you first start, you can turn into like a hunk of wood like real quick.
Wow,
I think having the nutrition married to that is good, though, because otherwise you could have people in there that are doing the jiu-jitsu and they're maybe one of the things they wanted to get out of it was losing weight, and they're not losing properly because they're eating like crap the whole time anyway.
Yeah. And a lot of people, it kind of comes down to, they don't, you can keep it simple, you know, or you can give them recipes. It all depends on where they're at.
Yeah.
Right. I think like, just like some people can't handle a recipe that is like way over their head. You know, if I was like, hey, here's like a beef bulgogi recipe and it takes 10 items. You need to marinate it. Do you know what this is?
Wait. Start over.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah. You know, it gets, Yeah, but then you explain to someone about, like, you know, like grilling chicken, much easier.
Yeah.
Yes. Can you grill a piece of chicken?
Been there. Great. Been there.
Do you have a rice cooker? No, yeah. Get one.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Always have rice on hand. Do you have measuring cups? No, get one.
Yeah, yeah.
And the coolest thing.
Do you know me?
One of the, my best tip for nutrition is count your calories, meal prep. But once you do it for one meal, it's done.
Yeah.
Meaning you know.
Yeah.
What it is exactly.
Yeah.
So if I make a recipe and I have to measure it out, and then the final product of it is, I know, okay, that this is, you know, 450 calories, it's 40 grams of protein, and it's A, B, and C. Well, now that I've counted the calories, that's kind of in my recipe book.
Yeah.
So I don't need to count those calories again because I know
how much.
So,
yes.
So it's kind of like people think counting calories is like this like daunting thing.
Yeah.
It is for the first recipe.
Yeah.
But then once you've done it 10 times with 10 different things, then you kind of know, I can whip up this. It's a cup of this, cup of that, cup of this.
We've been through this with our own lives.
And I'm good to go. Yeah. It is really hard. Yeah.
That's why I liked MyFitnessPal, because you can save a recipe in there, and you can save, you know, in the app, you can save some recipe and know that's 500 calories. Every time you make that recipe, you just check the box.
Yeah, and then
know?
It's in there.
Yeah, right. We just talked about this a couple of weeks ago, or a couple episodes ago, when we had a chef, and she has a cooking school in Asheville Mountain Kitchen.
That's cool.
Yeah. But we talked about how I like to plan out the same type of meals every week. So you're using the same ingredients. So it just
that would
makes
apply
life,
here too.
Yeah, it makes life super easy.
You buy a bunch of chicken, you got a bunch of rice, you can mix it around and make them.
And you can make different things, so it doesn't feel like you're eating the same thing all the time, but you're just same ingredients that you're working
with. Or you take one meal. What I do is, like, I'll take one meal and I'll make that be like a staple for my lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like I'll be like, okay, like, I don't know what I'm eating tomorrow, but I know for lunch it's going to be this.
Yeah.
And if you get the same lunch every day, that kind of simplifies at least one portion
one
of it.
One meal of it.
Yep. And I'm with you. Like, I don't like to eat the same thing every meal, but I'll eat the same thing every lunch.
Yeah. That's
for
easy.
Some reason, that's like an easy one.
Yeah, and change it up for dinner. You know, lunch is just whatever. It can be, you know.
Lunch is usually like you got to get it's in rushed. And out. It's rushed. Yeah. So you just need
make
it to
the
be
same
simple.
Thing. Make it the same thing.
Yeah.
So
there's a couple, like, the schools of thought that you can apply.
Yeah.
And then the whole nutrition thing, kind of, now you kind of know. But then it's up to you to abide by it. The cool thing about jiu-jitsu is it's going to put you in this crazy calorie deficit where I can kind of get away with a lot.
Yep.
I don't know about my pancreas, but in terms of, like, sugar and carbs and fat and calories.
Yeah, you're probably burning it up so fast.
I put it down.
Yeah,
I could drink like 3 Cokes and go train 30 rounds, you know, and be totally fine, and just because it is kind of like an endurance sport as
sure.
well.
Sure, sure.
So not great, but I can get away with it.
Yeah. I can relate only in that when I was doing the biking more heavily, I would count how many calories. So, you know, you'd do, I don't know, what do I used to do, 30 miles, and you would burn 1600 calories.
So you gotta replenish it.
So you could, you were like, oh man, I am gonna eat a burger, and you know, you could burn through it, right?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter.
Beer, but
that became the reward, though.
Yeah,
that became like a motivator to go.
Yeah, binge eating after training, awesome.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's so awesome.
It's like I used to crack up because we'd go to these marathons and stuff and set up a little booth for the place I used to work for, and we had healthy offerings, you know, but you got freaking like Domino's pizza beer, freaking Dunkin' Donuts, and these runners are consuming all of this
that's
and I'm like,
want.
But this food is good for you, and no,
it's not what they
it's
want.
Not, and I learned that it's like, nope, they need something that is going to just fill them up and get into their body fast.
Yeah, plus they can. That's the beauty.
Yeah.
That's part of the beauty of.
Well, not
exercise
all of them
and
should.
Out. Yeah.
Most
you,
of them
you
can.
Get, you can get away with it. If you want to be the tip of the spear in anything, you need to have your nutrition on point.
Yep.
But honestly, it's kind of like calories are calories, carbs are carbs. So if you're an endurance athlete, you can get away with eating a lot of shit, a lot of bad food.
Yeah, yeah.
But tip of the spear, you need to make some improvements.
Sure.
But there's so many pros.
That's also long-term. What's it doing to you eating all the stuff that's not good for you? You might be burning it off, but like you said about your pancreas, you know.
Yeah. It's going to bite you in the ass at some point.
Your organs aren't happy with it just because your body's burning it. Yeah.
And I also saw that you guys, this is great too, because stretching is so important. We Dan and I started working out again, and I'm like, you know, we need to do a full week of stretching because if you're just getting back into it, your body's like, hell no, it's like not going to happen. So you guys offer yoga at the gym too.
Yeah. So my wife has a running class. We were doing it at the speakeasy, but the thing is that's cool about the garage is we can get it really warm. We have like heaters and stuff, we have like infrared heaters and all this cool stuff. So you can get a really good sweat going. So we kind of have a hot yoga session
that's great.
We still do at our house that really anyone's invited to.
Nice.
So people from the gym go and people from her yoga community go. So we offer that, you know, anyone that wants to check it out.
Oh,
and
then
I have one of my students, he runs a nonprofit. It's called House of Yoga. My buddy Joe and his wife and Nicole. They'd actually be really great people to have on here,
too. Yeah, I'm going to actually write that down.
Yeah,
we love
them out.
We haven't had any nonprofits on yet.
Yeah.
So,
they're doing a lot of good work with, like, bringing yoga to schools for free. I don't know the extent of it. I know they're killing it. And he also owns a yoga studio in Spruce Pine. Him and his wife own it called Mineral City Yoga. But we have him at the gym, and he's, like, our resident. This is broken, busted. I need help. You know, he knows the body in and out
in terms of
stretching, yoga, and all that stuff. So
it's like a physical therapist almost.
Basically, yeah. And in terms of like nutrition, they have a whole system of shit that I could barely explain, but it's like Ayurvedic yoga stuff.
Yeah.
It's cool. Mm-hmm. Like there's a whole way of
somebody
eating.
Is a nutritionist. Maybe?
No,
I mean, that's deep when you're going into that.
I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know, but I know it's like Ayurvedic medicine, Ayurvedic food.
And they can
teach you about all that, and that's what they do through their nonprofit.
He's someone that trains me.
He's one of my students. So
what was the city that you said Mineral City Yoga was in?
It's in Spruce Pine.
Spruce Pine. I have not heard of Spruce Pine.
Yeah, shout out Joe and Nicole.
Yeah,
y'all rock. Yeah, he was one of my original students when we opened up, and I've had a few injuries that he's kind of like helped and coached me through.
Oh, that's amazing.
Nice. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's cool. So the hot yoga that you guys do, you have like where you sell so many classes or you sell classes as well, right?
Well,
like
we just have a membership.
A membership.
At the gym, just a basic membership, and then we have drop-ins.
Okay.
So you can, you know, keep it real simple. And that yoga is included. So if you're a member of the gym, you can come do yoga, no problem. Just come check us out.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we keep it really simple. I try not to have like any like it's weird. And as a business owner, it's you want to be affordable, but you don't want to be cheap.
No.
And I tell people, listen, if you want cheap, you should go somewhere else because cheap martial arts, like that's kind of who wants that, you know?
Yeah.
So I have people call me and their main point is like, I need the cheapest thing. And I'm like, okay, well, we're not it, you know, because we have.
You have to know your customer base.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's like cheap plastic surgery or a cheap dentist.
You don't
dentist.
Want that.
You
don't want the BOGO from
from the dentist
surgery.
Yeah. And, you know, being priced reasonably kind of doesn't bring down the market share for other gyms, you know?
Yeah.
So I just keep it real simple.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell my pricing.
No.
You can call in.
You can call in and ask.
You know, you can ask. But,
and do you network with other gyms so that let's say you have somebody that calls or they come in and they try some classes and it's just not for them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have other gyms you network with where you can maybe say, hey, I think this might be a really good fit for you?
Yeah. I mean, if you come to my gym and you don't really, it's not like the right feel for you. It's mostly just because you're not into jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
But it depends. Like I'll have people that call and maybe, because I don't have kids classes for really young kids.
Yeah.
Like 3 to 4.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
Yeah.
I have people that call and they're like, I have a 3-year-old and I have, you know, places that I recommend.
Yeah.
You know?
Perfect.
Or if they're like, I live in this area, what do you recommend? You know, I recommend them, you know, this. So I try to work with everybody.
That's great.
And point them in the right direction.
Yeah.
And
it's so great to network with other you know,
we had this
same type businesses.
This
you
guy,
know?
Professor Josh, he had gotten leukemia. So what we decided, and he owns a gym in town. So what we decided to do was get this like big fundraiser thing going. This was kind of last year. Get a big fundraiser going. So the idea was we would all teach at each other's gyms.
Oh, that's cool.
So I went to my buddy's gym and taught there. He came to my gym and taught at my gym.
Yeah.
Like a little seminar.
Like, you know, but this way my students didn't have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, he's gonna come teach here and give what you can at the end, and all the money's going to Professor Josh. Because he has fucking cancer, you know, we got to help him.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. And that was kind of like a big community thing that we all worked together.
That is awesome.
And, And yeah, and then like my nephew, I have him doing kids classes with me, and then when I want him doing extra work, I bring him to kids classes at other gyms.
Yeah.
Because I just want him to do, you know, just get more extra
just
work
be,
in
and be active.
Yeah. So we're know? All we all keep it cool with each other. It's a tight knit community. Everyone knows what's going on.
That seems to be the feel in Asheville, which we love, because that is one of the things that we kind of spoke to in Florida. Is there's, you know, it doesn't need to be. It can be competitive, but healthy competition.
Yeah.
Right. And also, the more you support other businesses that are like-minded, the more you're going to grow.
More opportunities.
It's more opportunity you're going to get. A partnership, or, you know, just you never know what's going to pop up when you're having that being cohesive with the people around you that run the same type of businesses.
Yeah, I agree. Versus the businesses that are like, it's all mine. I'm not.
Mine those is
are
the best. Nobody else's is any good.
Those
you
are
know?
The ones that go out of business. It
seems they don't last.
Because they're
long,
not promoting
usually.
Community, really. You know, it's just, sounds like it's going really well for you, though. So it really does. Sounds like you guys got it together. And
we're trying our best. And we got some guys competing next month, so there's a competition coming into town.
That's cool.
And they're gonna
so how do you guys work that? Do they get like sponsors? Do you sponsor them as a gym? How does
I mean, just dudes gotta just pay to compete.
Okay.
You know, and you pay to win your gold medal. Or not, you don't pay to win, but
you pay to try.
I have a cousin who's in MMA, and I know they always have like sponsorships, or you know, they wear like
those are not the gyms usually, though, are they? They're the brand. Aren't they like the
I mean, he trains at a gym.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they sponsor
some like
him,
professional jiu-jitsu athletes. They're sponsored.
Okay.
Of course.
Because it takes thousands of dollars
to
go.
Yeah, I think he went professional.
Yeah, it takes thousands to.
Yeah, it's a lot.
He is. Brandon, he's professional. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I was. It was almost the other way around, I would think, for most people, though, because it's almost promoting you guys, because he's going, and if he does well, it's like, what gym is your, that's your gym? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a.
That's cool. Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah.
What's funny is, like, you're talking about, you know, the community and how everyone does well. And I was speaking about with someone, I was trying to have, like, an idea of what I'm trying to do. Sometimes I get real, like, just spun out on what my goals are and all that. And I used to compete
a lot. Like, hone in on something. You're all over the place. Yeah.
And I used to compete in jiu-jitsu a lot all growing up, and I wrestled, and then I really focused on my career, and I focused on just my marriage and growing up.
Sure.
And then I started getting hurt. And I had a few really, really bad injuries that kind of, you know, same old.
Yeah.
But what I realized is, like, I'm going to compete either way, whether I'm competing in a jiu-jitsu tournament or I'm competing to have the best gym in town.
Oh, that's a great way to look at it.
So I was like, huh, like either way, I'm still going to, I'm still going to have this competitive attitude that I was trying to like shake it kind of. I was like, it's not going to go away because I own the gym. So even if I'm not actively competing in jiu-jitsu, there's still something that's driving me to make this thing as best as I possibly can.
Yeah.
And as a product of that, I'll be, you know, I might be better than others, and now we're competing. Yeah. And it all kind of makes us all better.
Yeah.
It does make us all better. Cause I see what one gym's doing and I'm like, oh man, I gotta be better. I gotta be better. So it's cool. It's healthy. It's
and
good.
I was thinking too, as you're training students, you might have a student that's really good.
Yeah.
And that challenges you.
Yeah.
Maybe he's like, you're like, whoa.
All the time. Yeah. All the
and
time.
And that's great, because that's a great testament to how you're training them.
Yeah.
So, but that it challenges you, that kind of keeps you up.
Yeah.
On just,
if you train evolving. Snakes, they'll bite you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a lot of young athletes that are coming after me trying to kick my ass.
Yeah.
And it's good. It keeps me in check.
Yeah.
It keeps my ego in check, you know? But you got to have skill and guile, and that's how you know, just got to be better.
Yeah.
I'll leave jiu-jitsu and just be like, man, I got to get better at jiu-jitsu. What the fuck's going on? Just get like my, you know, get ragdolled like a 17-year-old, you know?
I can't be called the owner of this place if I'm not beating them.
I love it. I can relate just in other ways in life, just constantly being in competition with yourself and with trying to do better and yeah, so it sounds like it's very healthy.
Yeah. Well, it can be. I can also be really hard on myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
same.
That's the flip side.
Him too. I have to go take a chill pill.
It's a personality.
It's good because, you know, he gets shit done. And if he's going to get something done, it's like, it's not going to be 99%. It's going to be 100%.
Right.
But I know what you mean. You have to be careful.
I have to suffer sometimes because I'm like, can we just stop doing this? Please.
You have to be careful.
Go on the couch and watch TV?
You have to be careful with that voice because I feel like it can get you to places where you succeed so well, but it could beat you up if you let it too. So I think as we get older, we get better about ignoring the more evil sides of that, whatever that motivational thing is, and let it steer you in the right direction. And really with something like what you're doing, the physical fitness part of it, it is, and the sort of mental acumen to be able to do the moves and remember the moves and all that, it's so healthy for your body in general. It's, you know, you're already halfway there, really.
Yeah. It's kind of all like, you know, some people say just for today, but it's all just for today thing.
Yeah.
Some days are great. Some days are terrible.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. Just shake it off and try to.
You just got
to
move on.
Just move on.
Speaking of moving on, though. Do you want to go first?
I was just going to say, but if you zoom out, though, all for today. But if you zoom out, the overall picture, you know, I feel like just talking to you is healthy, happy, good. Everybody's got their noise in between all that.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't feel like you can have sort of a habit like exercise and eating right and it becomes like a bad thing and ruins your life. I suppose it could for some people, but I don't think it's as common. Yeah.
I mean, it can be an addiction, right?
Yeah.
There are people that's all they're focused on, and there are the other things that just fall apart because that's all
balance. It's balance.
Their physicality is what they're focused on.
It's balance. And, you know, I'm someone that has struggled with, you know, substance abuse problems and dopamine addiction.
Sure.
Oh, that's
high speed anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can become a slave to any routine that makes you happy.
Yeah.
And then what you realize is you become more upset. You become more upset than you are happy.
Yeah.
So I have my practice tomorrow night, and every fucking Friday I'm there.
Yeah.
And nothing's holding me back from getting there.
Yeah.
And I do it, and I'm like, yeah, that was cool. But if I miss it, oh my God. I feel just like, what the hell happened?
It sounds,
you know?
It sounds like
yeah, I'm just like, I can't sleep.
Right.
How do I eat?
Yeah.
You know, it's just
kinda, people like me are just like, it'll all get through.
Yeah, I don't blow things off very well.
I wish I had more of that because I do I do get a little mad at myself when I can't stick with anything. But like this month, I'm not drinking any alcohol this month.
That's good.
And I really love wine, you know? I want my glass of wine at night. And he still has his wine, and I haven't done it. And I'm like, okay, I might actually make it to the end of the month.
And now I'm moving. And now I'm finding out. I'm like, oh, I didn't drink wine last night either. Like I forgot. Almost it was like it was our thing, and now it's like I forgot about it. So it's like, I don't know. I am in favor of, especially in the past 10 years of my life, of changing the routine and just pulling the rug out from underneath myself. You know, we moved, our lives are just changes, our second move in a row.
Yeah, I like change.
And I am finding, I've always been no change, I don't like change, and it's been very healthy for me because
that's cool.
it gets me, it's a new thing, I have to be building or doing or you know.
Yep.
It seems like you're kind of that way, like I have to stay busy. I'm not good at resting.
I built out my gym.
Yep.
And I mean, working in there every day.
Yeah.
For 60 days straight with my dad. And the day after our opening party, I started digging post holes in my backyard.
Right. That sounds like me.
Because I wanted to build a deck.
He's always
So I built a deck and I built out a whole patio in my backyard. It took me a year.
Yeah.
And now I don't have as much to do. So I'm focusing more in on trying to get my podcast going a little more.
Sure.
It's been really hard because it's easy to do it shitty.
Yeah, yeah.
It's easy to do it shitty. But to make it really nice, something something like this, you guys have obviously put a lot of like work and passion and time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm just I don't have the bandwidth for it.
Yeah.
You know, and
well, I'm guilty of thinking I have the bandwidth for things and starting a drone company and writing a novel. I've done all these things at the same time.
Now, I think I can purchase my way out of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know whatever microphones I got, I know they're fucking expensive.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, I'll get the nicest thing and I don't even know how to use it. You know, that'll help me. And I have all this shit and I'm just like, I need to spend actual
time.
It's time.
You know, time.
Putting it together.
It's time and it's just like, you know, it's dedication.
Yeah.
Because it is sticking to that schedule of just doing it.
Yeah. And my buddy was like, I think you're just afraid. He's like, you keep just buying shit and making it more complicated. He's like, turn the cameras on.
Yeah.
And go for it. Just try it. Start. Well,
and it's going to evolve too. Just like we started literally in our bedroom on a little pull out desk. Table.
Like when those wall tables, it
just
folds
me
out.
And him.
Yeah.
And then we did our first episode together. And then our very first guests were like part of a huge nonprofit in Florida where they put on this huge run where there's like 20,000 people. And we didn't have a studio.
That was our second episode. I rented a studio space.
We had to rent studio space.
Didn't know what we were doing at all. Mm-hmm. Went in there, killed it, I think.
Yeah.
And then later that day, those same two people were on all the major news networks in the same outfits. We're like, oh my God, they did the three news networks and our little podcast.
They did our show first, though.
That's cool.
But it was good for us because it was trial by fire, you know? Yeah. I feel like your friend is right. You got to just turn it on. And honestly, I mean this. If you want to reach out, if you want any thoughts on, I have overcomplicated the process.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing.
I have done it where it takes 4 hours of mixing after we're done. Now I've got it down to when I push this button when we're done, it's ready to upload. Yeah.
That's where I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
And I think, too, the other thing is I want to do something with more substance because my podcast is just...
Well, it's just therapy right now.
It's great. It's fun. Yeah, it's me and my friends. But then I'm just like, all right, I hope no one actually listens to this, you know?
I feel like you need to keep that because people like raw, real stuff.
Do.
But... make it a mix.
We do.
Make a serious topic that you're going to talk about that has some substance, but you guys are talking real talk about it, and people will tune in and listen.
Yeah, we've had unravel into some really deep stuff. And then I've had other people on where I'm just like, other guys I know that had drug problems.
Yeah.
We talk about, you know, just the struggle and all that. And then other times, really big into movies too.
Yeah.
Movies. Yeah. I'm a huge movie fan.
Yeah, me too.
I'm like...
We should just do a movie episode.
We could. We could go deep into really... My outlook on movies.
I knew I should have worn my Fight Club shirt. I had it on before I changed shirt. I did.
David Fincher.
Yeah. Love David Fincher. Yeah.
I didn't like his last movie, The Hitman or whatever it was on Netflix.
Oh, I didn't watch that one. It was based on the video game, wasn't it?
Michael Fassbender. I don't know. It wasn't that great.
Yeah.
Which it kind of let me down a little
bit. I have trouble lately finding a good one. Once in a while. But if I find a good movie, it's usually an old movie that I didn't see when it came out. So it's like maybe you could give me some tips. There's an app called Sofa that I just keep plugging movies into, and then we'll watch them, and it's like one out of every eight was good.
Mm. Yeah.
So I'm struggling to find a good one.
I'm watching Fallout right now. I really like it.
Oh, we just saw the first episode only, and we loved it.
Love it.
So, yeah.
It's got everything.
Did you play
it
the game or no?
A little bit. I kind of came into it late.
Yeah, me too. I played half of one of the games.
I was like, I don't really get what's going on.
Yeah.
It wasn't for me, but the show is very funny.
The show, it's funny. It's
like dark.
Got you thinking. Yeah. You know, I like it.
I do too.
I like futuristic stuff, like apocalypse.
Post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Did I get it?
Post-apocalyptic?
Apocalyptic. We're from Apopka. That's why I always say
Apopka.
That. Because I'm like, we should write a book called The Apocalypse.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen there?
Really big, like, HBO fan. True Detective.
Oh, I loved the first season of that. Yeah. The first season of that was spectacular.
Probably one of the best one-off seasons ever made on the show, I think.
I'll have to show you a parody they did from Talk Soup. I don't know if you remember that show.
Joel
McHale.
I'll have to check it out.
As it'll crack you up. But Cole, thanks for coming out.
Oh, of course.
This has been great.
Yeah.
And best of luck to you. If there's anything we can ever do for you, please let us know.
Dan, do you want to go grapple?
You can always come in and try a class.
I would come in and do yoga. You know what she's picking on me? Because I have.
We're just being real.
Okay, look, we all have our weird wirings. I am OCD, like a germ person. So, like, I'm weird about shaking hands. I see. So, we're all on top of each other. You can try.
So, my wife, she's big into like hot yoga, and she's a yoga instructor. Yeah, yeah. And she teaches yoga at a couple of the local substance abuse treatment centers around here.
Yeah.
That's really great. That's really big around here.
But I really would like to try it because
yoga is big around here, right?
Well, the recovery scene. There's a lot of mental health facilities here. A lot of people come to the mountains to get better.
Yeah.
We can save that for another time.
That's where we saw that building.
Because we want to talk about the sober house.
Yeah.
Well, let's do another episode where we kind of delve into that a little more deep.
And yeah, we kind of basically got into
get last, into the like, dark side and the good side, oh, you yeah. know?
And I'm always willing to get deep and chop it up and talk
yeah. about Yeah, I'd love to get deep into that, too. Yeah. There's a facility you and I saw. It looks like a big... Like a big Capitol building or something, isn't that like a?
Yeah, it was like an institution. I didn't realize I mean, it was like a psych ward, I think.
I didn't realize there were so.
I don't
many
know if they call them that anymore.
Sort of like, recovery kind of. It makes sense
lot.
Up
there's,
here.
There's state funded stuff, yeah, but there's a lot of private facilities.
Yeah, yeah. So that's I mean, really it makes sense that people would come up to this area yeah. to kind of get some to get healing. Better. You yeah, know, to get better. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense to come out of the. Bigger cities and from all the get away from the noise.
Yep.
That we came up here because we love just the mountains and the hiking. And I hate to admit it, but the restaurants and the food.
Yes.
So.
Oh, the food here. So, well, this is how we kind of kicked off this show, right? So I've been cold calling people mm-hmm. kind of, you know, you got to kind of do that when you get to a new area, yeah. you know? You don't know anybody. You're going to different businesses, leaving your card. Nobody knows you.
Right.
You don't have any connections in Asheville yet, but we...
Now Dan, you're booked up now.
Yeah, Dan said, put it on the foodies, the Asheville foodies page. And we put about the podcast on there. I think that's off. Even where you saw
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think yeah. so. Yeah, I think so.
On but the Asheville wonderful. Foodies page? Yeah. I'm like, but oh my gosh, it was just... I had to literally start a spreadsheet of all the different places that people recommended, not only to eat, but... Hey, here's a small business. Mm-hmm. You Wanna reached out. Them, you yeah. know what I mean? So I was like, okay, that was the way to go right there. It
turned
there.
Out great.
Yeah.
But what I started to say too is that, so there's sort of like, to me, being up here is just, there's something healing mentally about being out in nature and hiking.
Yeah.
But I hate to admit it, you know, we're also love the restaurants. We've been eating out a lot more. Now we've been here for a few months and I'm getting fat. So, and don't sugarcoat it because I'll eat that too. So we're trying to now get, you know, get we just healthy. Started get, yeah, we still want to eat out sometimes, but mm-hmm. now we're wanting to shift gears.
Yeah,
and
we've always really cooked at home and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it really changed when we took the move. So we moved from our house to a tiny little apartment above where I worked in Florida.
Okay.
The owner of my company rented some apartments out, rented it to us for super cheap. Mm-hmm. So we lived there for 6 months while we Airbnb'd our house and just made sure it was doing good before we made the move here.
Nice.
Well, we lived in like a little downtown area that like, had you walk down to the restaurant.
You could
like
get literally from your, you could be from your couch to the restaurant table, and I'm not exaggerating, 2 minutes.
This was in Florida?
In Florida.
Yeah. Nice.
So,
but it was bad eating.
We're in a tiny apartment. You don't want to cook fish in an apartment. That's disgusting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, yeah. anything you cook in the apartment anything. Is yeah. like all yeah. just smells the whole place up. So you're like, can we just go somewhere? Because I don't want to cook in here, you know? Yeah. And it was like 400 square foot. Apartment yeah. so it was tiny
yeah
it was a tiny little city living.
The tie back in here is that we it's yeah. good timing to have met you because we do want to get, you know, we just started doing the basics exercising. I like to bike, but I just want to mm-hmm. get back into eating better and exercising and yeah. making it a splurge to go out and eat something. That's right. how it used to be.
Yeah.
So instead of just, you know, three times a week or whatever it
yeah.
turned into.
Yeah, I just kind of, like I said, yeah. I don't do drugs anymore, so I'm just like food is where it's at. Food is awesome. Oh my God,
does he sound like me? Because I don't do drugs anymore either, but food's become the yeah. drug where it's like.
Food is where it's at.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful. You got to everything in moderation.
You got to yeah. balance it.
But if you're taking enough good care of your body and you're doing enough exercise, you can have a lot more fun with the food.
Yes.
That's,
yeah.
You know, that's yeah. the win.
I want to say, like, when you're moving, so I went to school for alternative medicine, mm-hmm. and when you're moving, it's almost like your body releases like these little special medicines that float around your body and eat everything up.
That's kind of how you get like your cholesterol goes
yeah,
down.
Your cholesterol's not going to float around and stick in your arteries because you're constantly moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's almost like an engine. If you let it sit for a long time and you don't start it up every once in a while, you don't keep the right oil in it, it gets all gunked up.
Well, that's what's crazy is they say a lot of people after 30 will never sprint again.
Yeah.
After 30 years old, you'll never run at full speed ever again.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I'm not there because I still do that.
Good. There you go. Because a lot of people, they just like they just stop moving their bodies.
Yeah,
they
just they're sitting a lot.
Completely mm-hmm.
sedentary. I mean, I've been in IT for 35 years, so yeah, I've been sitting behind a computer for...
I mean, why do you think Apple Watches have things like a reminder to stand every hour?
Yeah.
Because people are not standing once an hour, yeah. you know? Yeah. Can you imagine?
But that's just the whole health, the health and fitness trackers and everything were yeah. born from that, because we all used to just move as a society. I'm not saying yeah. me in particular, well, but, you know, now...
You used to move around a lot more.
Yeah.
Well, you had to work for your food, or mm-hmm. you know, it was more a physical labor that was. Yeah,
it's like the technology to get skinnier keeps getting better and better, but everyone just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I don't think yeah. technology is like the answer, because it's all there. It's all this crazy.
It only works for people that probably would have been healthy anyway. It just makes it easier for them to track it.
Yep.
That's the way I feel. Yeah, I don't think anyone. You know, let's be honest. We've all seen the big heavyset guy with the fitness tracker and everything, and it's like the Diet Coke. It's like you want to
yeah.
do
it. Yeah. You know, oh, a Big Mac with a Diet Coke.
It's yeah, like you're, it makes
you
know, no sense.
You got the fitness tracker on. It's yeah. like, just what are you doing? You know?
Right. Or, I would argue the Diet Coke is worse for you than just get the Coke, because now you got a bunch of chemicals.
My favorite is when you see the people in like the full biker gear that's like the Speedo stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I know what you're talking about.
All sucked in, and I'm like, you don't need all that to just start the exercise. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It becomes ritual, though. It's just the same people that go to the gym with all the fancy stuff on.
The gym the other day, this dude had a fucking ski mask on.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing.
He was like, just like trying to sweat it out. Yeah, I don't know. I think
he was like, thought he was looking tough or something. Oh, he had a ski mask on.
Did he have fingerless gloves on? Just curious.
I know. I swear to God, there was a guy with limousine driver gloves on. They're fingerless. Yeah. Yeah, you see some wild shit.
I love it.
I look like such shit when I go to the gym.
I always was.
I
like,
want to be the most sweats. Comfortable.
Yeah.
Like I, nope. I see girls like with their sunglasses up on their. I'm like, what is happening?
How are you gonna?
Where are we at?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I was like, me and my wife just started kind of dating, and she was getting into fitness, and she was kind of just. I don't know what's the word, not embarrassed, but like it never really worked out, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'll go with you. And she's like, I don't know. I don't want people to like look at me. I'm like, I was like, look at you. It'd be fucking, fuck it. Let's go.
Yeah.
So we go and we're working out, and there's like this girl that's like a 10 out of 10 wearing like booty shorts with like huge tits.
That's why she's there.
Next
though.
To nothing.
She's there for the attention.
And she's sucking on a lollipop. And my wife was like, I'm going to beat the shit out of this girl. She's like, if we don't leave, I'm going to beat the shit out of this girl.
You went to the wrong gym.
Yeah, I was like, all right. Yeah, she's like this like fitness like porn star.
Yeah.
She was like, she's like, I'm never coming back here again.
And then they sit on the machines that like they're doing the little leg.
Yeah,
thing.
Like the leg abductor and, like, opening, closing their legs.
And you're like, how long are you going to stay on that? So seriously.
I won't name the gym because they're still going and I really don't want to name them. But back in Florida, our company had like a discount to the big fancy gym that like
there.
The Orlando Magic that helped found the gym. Now everybody knows which one it is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and so we went. It was the first gym membership I ever had, and it was just like that. It was everybody, all the chicks were all done up to the nines and showboating around. We quit that one after a year and joined the YMCA, and it was awesome. Yeah, I loved it because it was better. Like everyone was just in there to work out. Yep. Nobody was dressing up.
It was great. All right, we got to wrap this show up.
Well, thank you for having me,
thank
guys.
You, Cole.
This was great.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we'll have to do this again for sure.
Yeah, we're going
to
talk about movies, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'd love that.
Before we leave, we're going to put a link on our show notes as well, but tell everybody where they can find you.
Oh, you can find me at speakeasymartialarts.com, 640 Merriman Avenue, Suite 201, Speakeasy Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Wrestling Academy. That's us. Look us up. We're Merriman Square, right above the fish market.
Awesome.
Very nice.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Cole.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in this week to see who joined us in the studio once again. And remember, at the end of each and every day, it's
all fine and dandy.
Hi guys, we hope you enjoyed the show today. If you did, we would love a review. So make sure to head over to your Apple Podcast app or whatever app you listen to your podcast on and give us a 5-star review. Also, give us a like and a follow on our social media. You can find that all under Fine and Dangy. And if you want to find out more about our guest or about us, head over to fineanddangy.com.